Hi, it's Mackenzie, and this is the Mill Spouse Brief. Happy Monday and happy Valentine's Day. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. Kate and I were able to celebrate a little bit of Valentine's Day early. We went to the shooting range, which was like his Valentine's Day gift, and then we had a wonderful dinner at Texas Day Brazil, which is one of our favorite restaurants, and it was so yummy, and we like came home so stuffed, but it was delicious and it was really fun. And then today we're just gonna take it easy. We both have stuff to do around the house. Cade starts his internship this morning, so he's very excited for that. And then I think we're just gonna make some takeout. I'm gonna make some chicken fried rice tonight, and we'll probably watch a movie on the couch and call it a day. I'm really excited for this episode today. I have my personal trainer, Katie, on, and we talk about all the things that we have been doing in our life recently and all the different discoveries and life lessons that we have learned and a lot of the learning, truly. I start the episode off kind of explaining what happened on Thursday when we recorded that episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And without further ado, here is me and Katie. All right, so I'm here with Katie, and we have had kind of an interesting week.
For sure.
I feel like it's been really busy, so I feel like I'm just going to get out here and let the cat out of the bag. So I had my PRT today, which Kate and I have been training for, honestly, since, like, November. I mean, even before then, like, once we found out. But I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, we have been at it a while.
Like, almost June. But, you know, so I finally, I had to do this PRT, which is a physical readiness test or personal readiness test, in order to, like, pass to go to OCS. And so you have to do a couple leading up to OCS, but you have to pass the one like 2 weeks up until OCS. So I still have some time, but I show up, it's down in San Diego, and I was like nervous as crap. I went to bed at like 7 p.m. yesterday, woke up, got ready, drove down, and I was there like pretty early, stretching, all that kind of stuff. And anything in military fashion, you'll know, goes so not to schedule. So we didn't start till like 8:30, and it was hot. Do the push-ups, I got 30 without stopping or without like dropping, which I was pretty proud of myself. Planked for 3 minutes and 10 seconds, which is my personal best so far. And then the run comes, and guys, when I tell you, like, it was so rough out there. So it was like 75 degrees, it's 9:30, and you know, I'm like, it's okay, I'm gonna run. Kate and I have been training on like what my pace needs to be during certain laps, you know? I get my 3 laps out. I'm like, all right, I'm feeling good. Lap 4 comes, and the, like, dry heaving, like, not vomiting, but you know when you're, like, about to? It starts coming. I'm like, it's okay. I can keep running. I can keep running. And then all of a sudden, it was like, no, you cannot keep running. So, of course, pull off on the track, vomit for about 90 seconds, and I'm like, all right, I'm good to go. Get back on the track. Finish my 2 laps, and I don't make the time. And so my next one is on Tuesday, so I got, like, what, 6 days?
Yeah.
6 days? I don't know, 4 days? Something like
Friday, that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, 5 days.
Yeah, 5 days. So next Tuesday morning, I'm running it. And honestly, it was really tough to, like, not do well because Kate and I have been training for it. I've passed it multiple times before. I run 2 to 3 times a week. You know, like, I've been feeling really good about the run. I will say we do not run in the heat. We run at 6 a.m. to 8 at the latest, and yeah. It's not been warm here at all.
No, it's actually been really cold and some days rainy and wet.
Yeah, sometimes we run in the rain. And so, personally, I've not trained in the heat, and I think that's really what did me in. I also started my period today, which was horrendous. I woke up at like 1 in the morning with cramps, which all the women will know that starting your period on that day, you need to do like physical exertion is not fun. And so, honestly, it was a really big learning experience for me. I, at first, was really upset because I was like, man, I know I can do this. Like, I'll run it tomorrow, you know? And everyone was really kind and encouraging. But I just wanted to, like, share it because I think it's important that as much as we share our successes, we have to share our failures, you know? And I'm grateful that I failed today and not at OCS. And I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to do it on Tuesday and pass. And I'm grateful that in reality, like, you're able to learn from this. You know, if I would have just gotten upset and stomped off, I wouldn't have seen the bigger picture of it. And truthfully, like, working with Katie, and we've been doing so much, like, even personal development, like, the different books we're reading, like, my mental game has changed so much more that I think even a year ago, I would not have taken this failure lightly. If you know me, you know that, like, failure is, like, not something I do well at all. And I've learned a lot in the last, like, 5 years about it. But truthfully, learning about failure and realizing that everybody fails, it's not something to be embarrassed about. So even though I am, like, embarrassed that I didn't pass and I didn't do the run the best I could, I realize that everyone has days like that. Even the best athletes, Michael Jordan has failed and got cut from a team. And it's just really important to realize that we have to share our failures as much as we do our successes, because we have to normalize it. And society doesn't normalize it. They make it sound like it's this out there idea for failure. When, I mean, we fail every day, whether it's big or small. And so I just wanted to share that because I think it's really important to realize that social media will make life look real good. You know, I'm going to a party night, so my life will look real good. But today sucked, you know, like it's hard to not pass, and it's hard to throw up while you're running in very much heat, you know. But at the same time, it's important to keep going. This is not the time that I put my head down and quit, and I just need to keep going. I need to train a little bit more when it comes to runs, and I probably need to run a little bit more in the heat just to get better at. But I'm really excited for this episode with Katie. We have been grinding, and we have learned so much in the last couple of months, and we really wanted to share it with you. So we're going to start talking about our workout schedule and what we have kind of really implemented for success.
Yeah, so Kenzie and I strength train. We do primarily weightlifting 3 days a week, and then 2 days a week are spent running. Mm-hmm. And that's usually when, you know, either doing intervals and sprint training or doing the long runs. But mainly we've just been trying to get strong.
Yeah.
And get Kenzie strong to support those push-ups and those planks. So,
and it's crazy, like, a lot of people will think that strength training isn't what's going to help you to get ready for the military, but I have seen exponential growth with me with lifting weights instead of just running every day.
Oh yeah. The more I learn, like the more time that I spend as a trainer and the more I delve into the topic of strength training, the more I realize that it's truly the key to long-term health and success, like long-term, success in that, like in life.
Talk about the squat form and like with Lizzie.
Oh, as far as just like watching, if you ever watch a kid, just watch a kid and how they sit and how they hang out and how they have such perfect form when it comes to squatting. That's such a natural position for humans, and we've really gotten away from that, and we don't have the strength in those areas to be able to do that, or the mobility. Squatting in perfect form takes a lot of mobility from your ankles all the way up to your hips. So yeah, just watch a kid, observe how they are and observe how they hang out and play, how they'll just pop a squat and play with their toys.
Their butt is all the way to the ground and it's not an issue for them.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, hold your squat for 30 seconds on the ground for a warm up. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Several clients, like a pretty significant portion of my clients can't even get into a deep squat position. It's really hard for them. So yeah, we have definitely lost something along the way, somehow.
Yeah, because you don't realize how much mobility. It's all about, like, how much weight's on your bar.
Yeah.
How much your dumbbells weigh.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, learning about your form. You know, we were training one day, and what were we doing? Front squats?
Tell me what you're talking
about. When we were, like, doing, like,
this. Oh, yeah, with your elbows.
Yeah, and I could not, for the life of me, hold it up and get my form while balancing the weight. And so Katie's like, hey, ditch the weight. Go grab this barbell that Lizzie, her 2-year-old, can pick up and put it perfectly so that you can get your form right, you know? So that day was about form and getting the exact form that I need to, and having that become muscle memory instead of, okay, you squatted 85 pounds or things like that.
Yeah, I would so much rather, and I even do it with myself. I tell myself like that I need to earn the weight. And even if I know that I can lift heavy in a certain lift, I make myself go through the process of adding sometimes 5 pounds at a time, sometimes 10. It just depends. And I really focus on form. And I honestly, that originated from postpartum. I did CrossFit the whole time I was pregnant, and it was tough. They call it the athlete brain, because you, being an athlete and having that background, you just want to chase those personal records. You want to be stronger and you want to be doing what everybody else is doing, especially in a CrossFit type environment.
Oh yeah.
It's highly, you know, competitive. Yeah, so when I was pregnant, one, I had to start to get a hold on my brain and tell myself and really apply the fact that my strength goals were different. I was preparing myself for a different aim, which was to give birth and to do so in a way that I was going to be healthy and whole at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then in the postpartum process, I started to learn. I actually went through BirthFit, which I highly recommend for anyone who is postpartum to at least look into it and read up on the tenets of it. But in the postpartum phase, I really wanted to heal properly, and I didn't want to exacerbate any weaknesses, because you have those. Your abdomen, your core, your hips, everything has been through it. Yeah, your body has been racked. So that I took that time to perfect form, because I had to go down. Like, I stripped down. I actually talked to a coach. He was a barbell coach, and he told me, we were chatting about some lift, and he said if he had his way in a CrossFit gym, he would not let anyone load a barbell for mm-hmm. the first year.
Wow.
That he would make them work through for an entire year with just a naked barbell
yeah.
until they perfected form. So I figured, since I felt like I was being brought back to the starting point,
mm-hmm.
I just decided to really work on my form. And
yeah.
I think it helped me. I think it laid a solid foundation for the rest of my, you know, for the rest of my life.
Oh, so. For sure. And I think that's one of the things I really like about Whole You Fitness and, like, the way you coach is you want us to, like, add weight if we're ready, but you're never going to be like, oh, well, as a coach, it only looks good if you're adding weight every single time you work out and
yeah.
have crappy form.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of hard to, pull the reins back on some clients, because we want to do that, especially
yeah.
if you do have that competitive streak. You want to add weight. And sometimes it's great, and sometimes I feel like I can just, you know, go for it, go into it, head into it. But then sometimes it is tough to be like, hey, we need to work on this before you add this. I know that you're capable of this, but if you push too far ahead and lift, just because you can lift it doesn't mean you should. And if you lift it because you can and you shouldn't,
yeah.
you're going to put a ceiling over your head. You're going to eventually injure yourself. Yeah, absolutely. You're eventually going to run into injury, and you're not going to be able to continue to progress. Whereas if you really focus on getting it right in the lower weights, then you're going to have a lot more success.
Yeah, something I've learned with doing it with you is sometimes when I, like, have lesser weight, it helps me focus exactly on... I have, like, a weird thing with my knee when I squat. And I've noticed that, like, when I focus exactly on, like, okay, going down, holding the position, and then coming back up, like, my knee doesn't do that weird wobbly thing. You
yeah.
know? Versus when I'm more worried about what the weight and how heavy it is and, like, holding the bar or anything like that,
yeah.
my knee goes... wobble, you know?
Right.
And so I do think it's something interesting to focus, like, when you're doing your lifts and your squats and all that kind of stuff, like, how much are you focusing on that whole lift and, like, your body and exactly what it needs to do, when it needs to do
yeah.
it, versus the music or someone next to you, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
half time when we work out, we'll be, like, doing something, like, okay, hold on, I gotta, like...
Yeah, I gotta do my set real
yeah.
quick.
I'm like, we wanna talk, but they're like, okay, hold on, I can't even focus, you know? And so I do think it's important to realize, like, if you don't have the proper form, or you're not focusing on, I think for me is specifically the squats. Like,
mm-hmm.
if I don't focus on exactly how my back needs to go, because I do that little, what, the little tail flip.
Butt wink.
Yeah, the butt wink. And so if I don't focus on exactly how, and tell them about the pull thing, how that helped me.
Oh, using a dowel or using I have some PVC pipes that we use. A lot of CrossFit gyms and gyms in general will use those for stretching and mobility work and just warming up. But to teach her the hinge motion, I put a PVC pipe along, like, flush to your spine.
Yeah.
And you use that to bend forward, maintaining your back pressed against that PVC pipe to see exactly, like, you can tell where your spine flexes away from that PVC pipe. Does that
yeah.
sound like I'm explaining it right?
Yeah, and so basically, like, holding on to the PVC pipe instead of weight, I'm able to exactly see on my back, like, how I have to squat to keep the PVC pipe against my back versus my butt come up.
Right.
And then the PVC pipe goes away. And so it's small things like that. Now I'm able to squat with weight better
mm-hmm.
than if I just was like, oh, what? Who cares about the butt wink? I just want to add weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Just pushing through and doing it. However, so yeah, that's, you've made a lot of progress too.
Thanks.
You've come a long way. You've come a long, long way.
So the next thing that we have really learned about in the last, like, I want to say, what, 2 months? It's about recovery.
Oh, yeah. That's been huge. That's been huge. Because, again, that athlete brain, it is very strong with me. And I have a huge tendency to overtrain. And even some of my clients, they get the bug. And once they have the bug, they just want to work out like maniacs, which I understand because I get that too. However, I've been learning that recovery is not only, it's not, it's just, it's the only way to make strength gains and to have progress. Without it, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Today, when I was driving down to San Diego, I was listening to the David Goggins book, which if anyone wants to listen to it, it's Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. It's intense, y'all.
It's very intense.
But it is so good. And he was talking about how he is a Navy SEAL, an ultra marathon runner, like all this stuff. He has an active recovery day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and when I do my active recovery day, it was really interesting. He was like, I don't do anything. He was like, I don't sit here and go, oh, well, I'm just going to walk or I'm just going to run a little bit. He's like, no. And he's like, and I focus on recovery. I spend time with my family. I spend time reading. He's like, just because I'm on the couch doesn't mean my face needs to be in my phone the whole day. Mm-hmm. He's like, I spend time recovering because I know I'm going to have to go hard the next day. And so he's like, and I do exactly what I need to do. I need to eat properly. I need to drink enough water. Like, there are things that I do to make sure my recovery day is having the most benefit or like I'm using it to the most of my ability, because if you don't take an active recovery day, those next few days you can't go as hard.
That's right. I like how he even said that, how he doesn't scroll on his phone, because that is really mentally and emotionally taxing sometimes. I don't even think we realize how much that drains us. So I really liked that he brought that up too, and how he uses that time as a mental recovery as well as a physical recovery.
Talk about the your timer blocks.
My timer blocks, like the cube?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So there's this little thing on Amazon. I wish a friend actually mentioned wanting to be like a sponsor for them, because, or having them sponsor her, because she told me about it, and she had actually told other people. But it's this cute little cube, and it's got different numbers on each side. Like,
I can link it for anybody.
Yeah, you should totally link it, because it's amazing. It's got different numbers, like different time increments on each side. And if you find yourself with 15 minutes of time to block out for a certain activity, you can just set that timer for 15 minutes. And me using that cube, it's almost like a mind game. And so the way that I use it is, if I set it for 30 minutes and I'm going to work, I turn my phone off, and I know that that's 30 minutes that I can just strictly focus on what's in front of me. And I know that that timer is going to run out. So I'm almost like racing the clock.
Yeah.
And I get so much done. And then once that's done, you know, I'll reward myself with a break, and then I'll either go again. A lot of times I end up just, the timer goes off and I kind of check into what I need to do. If I need to answer texts or emails or whatever, I'll do that. And then if I have another block, I'll go again. And I typically do. I end up getting a lot more done when I use that.
Oh yeah. I feel like our brains make a task seem way longer. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done similar to that is, for me, I'm like, well, even if this project is going to take me longer than 60 minutes, I will only do 60 minutes. And then when that timer goes off, I'm like, I'm already in it. I can finish this.
Exactly.
I did that with the half bath. I like had not wanted to paint it. I probably put it off for an entire week. And I was like, you know what? 60 minutes. I'm giving myself 60 minutes. And when that timer goes off, if I don't want to do it, I can be done, because I did at least 60 minutes.
Yeah.
I get done in 60 minutes and I'm like, I have one wall left.
Yeah.
I can finish this.
I can just do it.
And so it's very interesting, like kind of the mind game that we'll put on her. Like sometimes I'll be like, I don't want to fold this laundry. But nope. I'm like, it will take me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I saw a video on TikTok actually about this girl, and she said that she hated cleaning up her kitchen in the evening and she would just leave it for the morning. And then her mom said, time yourself for one day, clean up your kitchen. And she's timed herself, and it was like 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
You said
like,
3?
Yeah, to like just put the dishes in the dishwasher.
Oh, wow.
Like it was just like a small like kitchen cleanup. It wasn't like a deep clean or anything.
Yeah.
But she's like, when I time myself, it was literally like 4 minutes.
She's like,
I have 4 minutes in every single day. And so sometimes I feel like our brain will make projects or tasks seem so much bigger.
Yeah.
When you amount time to it, it's so different. And so she's like, anytime I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed and not do the dishes, she's like, it's 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend 4 minutes scrolling on my phone.
Exactly.
Like anyone has 4 minutes. And so now she's like, and she's not saying like, oh, it's awful if you go to bed without doing the dishes. But she's saying like, we make tasks seem way bigger.
Right.
But in reality, 4 minutes.
It's nothing.
And so now she's like, it's not an issue to like put my dishes away because I know it's only going to take me 4 minutes. Yeah. And then in the morning, I don't have to do it.
And 4 minutes is so worth the waking up without, like, waking up to a dirty kitchen starts my day so awfully.
Yeah,
so,
because I'm like, oh, another task.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, I'm already starting behind. Yeah. Like, I'm already behind schedule if my house is out of order.
Exactly. And that's how I feel with anything. So when I don't want to do something, I'm like, in reality, how long is this going to take me? And I like, especially when I do the 15-minute one,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I can do this way quicker than 15.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How much time is this actually going to take me? Like, specifically with laundry. Folding laundry is probably my least favorite task in the world.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. It's just folding, like,
It's financial work for me. I hate doing it.
The banking or budgeting?
Yes, banking. It's specifically with, like, business and seasons coming up.
Oh,
and
tax season.
Loathe even the most simple financial tasks. So I'm actually about to have to eat my words and set my timer and work on that stuff because it's coming up.
Have you ever heard about, Eat the Frog?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so I read about it the other day, and I think I was talking to Tiff about it. But basically, this lady, like, when she sets up her morning routine at night, she, like, plans out her day for the day before, and then she makes 3 tasks that, like, need to get done. And the first task is always the task she, least wants to do. And she says that, like, and I feel like her time is around, like, 8 to 10 is what she said, which is normally yours if you don't have, like, on Tuesday, Thursdays at least. And she's like, when I do, I just do that first task that I don't want to do, and she calls eat the frog, because once you eat it, then you're like, all right, it's done, it's gone, it's, like, the hardest thing. But then you're like, oh, I, like, want to do the other tasks. Like,
right.
Other tasks aren't like that. And so it's about, like, putting the task you least want to do at the beginning of your day. Because then if you just get done, you're like, I have the whole day. And then you're like, oh, 2 o'clock, someone's approaching, and I have to do this task, and I don't want to do it. And then I put it off, and I don't do it.
Yes. Yes, which has been my go-to lately.
Oh, I feel it. That's why I'm painting.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you just, like, eat the frog, then it's, like, done. And you're like,
yeah,
okay.
I'm going to eat that frog soon.
Yeah. And I just noticed that, like, when I put something on the afternoon, first of all, I can't do it because I'm done.
Yeah, same.
In a nap.
Yeah.
But, like, if I just do it, I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I feel great now.
Yeah. Yeah, your day is good. It's a win.
Back to recovery.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, so, I specifically got sick. I got COVID.
Yeah.
And we went, so we've been working, and, like, Katie sets up her workouts, like, we do 4 weeks normally.
Yeah.
And then, like, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are different body parts, mm-hmm. but you do those for 4 weeks consecutively. And it's, like, the same moves, motions, whatever you call it.
Yeah, exercises.
Yeah, exercises. Mm-hmm. And so I got COVID, and we took, like, an entire week off.
Mm-hmm.
And did not do anything. Like, and granted, like, we couldn't. Like, we were so exhausted. We were so sick. But we went running on that Saturday after we felt better.
Yeah.
And I did a pull-up all by myself.
Oh, yeah. This girl who has not done any pull-ups just jumps up on the pull-up bar and does a pull-up.
And does a pull-up. And
like, it was like, the most natural thing,
and
too.
That was what was so wild, was we were just sitting there, and I was like, well, I'm going to try it, because we've been working on pull-ups.
Yeah.
It's something that we've been trying. It's something I've been enjoying really working to. But having, and you know, I'm not saying that you have to take a week off, but truly having that week off, I was like, I am doomed. Like, all my progress is gone. I literally just wasted entire months of work. And all of a sudden, because I let my muscles rest for that long, I can do a pull-up now all by myself. Granted, it's one. We're not
no, shooting
for the stars.
But one pull-up is still, that's a big achievement.
You know, and so it was wild that after recovering and letting my body, like, fully rest, I was able to do a pull-up, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, literally out of nowhere. And so it's kind of wild that we think rest is this bad thing.
Yeah.
And that leads us to our newfound obsession, which is sleep.
Yes. Yes. Well, I want to go back a little bit and say that another trainer recommended the podcast Mind Pump to me. You might want to link that too. It's so good. And one of the guys on that podcast actually said that. He said every year he would go on vacation. He's an avid lifter. I think he might be the trainer that's on that show that previously did, like, physique competitions and stuff. I think it's him. But he was saying that he would go on vacation every year, and he would freak out thinking he wasn't working out, he was going to come back and lose all of his gains, and he would every time come back to the gym after vacation and doing nothing, stronger.
Yeah.
So that was huge. That was like, huh, I really think that we're probably mostly, if you're working out a good bit more than 3 days a week, you're probably overtraining. More than likely.
Well, there's... that, and, like, in 10 years, in 20 years, when you're on your deathbed, are you going to be happy that you enjoyed your vacation, or are you not going to be?
Yeah, yeah, like, for sure, for sure. And I think that, you know, that that principle can be applied across the board to food, to how you recover, all of it. So it's a good point.
It's crazy. And it's not, no one's saying like, oh, you need to take a week off every month or things like that. But truly, like, resting your body does way more for me than I would have ever realized. And I think we talked about it, like, it's kind of different when you're giving it your all every workout versus maybe giving 60 to 70% 6 days a week. You know, like, if you, not want to say if you want the active recovery day, but to really make that active recovery day worth it and to really help, you do have to go harder on your other days.
Yeah. And I, well, that's another thing. Like, I just feel like lately I'm in this season where my training philosophy, I've just been learning so much more. I feel like this whole new world of personal training has been opened up to me through the things that I'm reading, and every day I listen to a new podcast. I'm just trying to absorb everything that I can. And one of the things that I've recently learned, and I'm not even sure that we've talked about this yet, is to all the principle of leaving two in the tank. Mm-hmm. So every exercise, like every set that you do, to kind of determine where you should, like, where your rep range should be.
Okay.
You want to go to the point where you still have two reps in the tank.
But it's still, like, so technically, like, rep 10 is still hard, but you could go to 12.
You could go to 12 with good form. And then, and also, it's leaving your workouts with energy, like, mm-hmm. leaving with still some gas in your tank.
Yeah.
And to where your workouts aren't depleting you, just you still have energy to go through your day, and it's not like you're moving through your week drained and tired. Yeah. Your workout's like adding to your life rather than subtracting.
And that's something I've learned a lot, is you'd think waking up at 5 a.m. and going to work out, like we do, you wake up at 4 a.m. but I wake up, but like doing that, you'd think it makes us tired. But if I don't work out, I am way more tired during the day. Don't get me wrong, I love my rest Sundays and I'm grateful I don't.
Yeah.
But I have half of the energy I do on Sundays when I don't wake up and work out. And it's so weird because you'd think working out takes away our energy, but it really gives me energy for the whole day.
I agree. Same here. I think we've stricken a good balance in our workouts lately with intensity. Like, I feel really good lately. I feel incredible.
Yeah. And like, that doesn't mean that we don't leave sweaty or that we didn't work hard, but like, I think it was on Squat University, which we both follow. Definitely follow if you're listening.
Oh, yeah.
Katie was the one that put me on. And they talked about, like, the difference between, like, training versus, like, either, like, going to the gym. Or you remember that post that he posted? It basically said, like, there's a difference between training, maybe, and then maybe, like, just being an athlete. Where, like, you put it all on the field every single time, like, as an athlete. But when you're training, you can't put it, like, you can't leave dripping in sweat.
Yeah.
He just said, like, leave overexerted every single time and not do recovery and not do these things.
Yes.
That's, like, more the, I don't know, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's
I
not
think
that
so.
Being an athlete's bad, but when you're training and when you're actually taking care of your body, so much more goes into it than, like, how many reps you did at the gym on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, for sure. And even the way that I've been working out lately is really trying to just connect my mind to the body part that I'm working. So really engaging that. And that necessarily, and sometimes that means I have to go down in weight. And that can be an ego. That can ding my ego. Because I'm like, wait, why do I have to grab these baby weights? And they're not, there's no such thing as baby weights. It's more so about, I think you can fly through an exercise. You can do 10 reps of something with momentum and with, you know, even with decent form. But if you really truly contract and focus and put your attention fully on the muscles that you're trying to work, you totally change and alter your workout. You get much more out of it. So,
well, and like you said, who cares about the weight if you have bad form? Because you're not even working on the muscles you want. Other muscles are coming in to, like, help the muscles you're not even trying to work.
Exactly. And I just think about all those workouts that I've, like, wasted or not gotten everything out of them that I should. Just how much energy have I burned up doing workouts in ways that I could have gotten so much more progress.
Right.
So, but you know, you live and you learn, and when you know better, you do better. So
a big reason why we're doing this podcast in this season of, like, we have learned so much, like, both of us, like, this life is, like, this season of life is learning.
It
you know?
Is.
And that's why I made the season about that, life learning and lessons, like, because there's so much that we have learned, and we just wanted to share it.
Yeah.
Because it's helped and changed our life so much.
For sure. For
so
sure.
Sleep.
Sleep, yeah. Now that we've returned from the detour. But yes, sleep has been a big topic for us.
A game changer.
Yeah, for sure. How is...
Okay, so I feel like I've always been big on sleep. I've always been like a 10 to 5, 10 to 6 person. And recently, we've gotten a little bit more sleep than that. So like, Cade got sick, just like a cold. So let's see, I went to Ohio, and then I came back. And when we came back, Cade got a cold. It wasn't COVID or anything like that. It was just a runny nose, but... I love you, Cade. You're just a big baby when it comes to being sick. And so I feel like most men are, you know, it's like, it's just a
thing.
It's okay. I love him. He's great. Best husband ever. it's okay. So he was not feeling well. So we would go to bed really early. I'm saying like dinner at 5, showered in bed by 6:30, out by 7. And so we would sleep like 7 to 5, 7 to 6. And it was the most glorious thing ever. And it was wild. Now, granted, I understand it's very unrealistic to get 10 to 12 hours of sleep. But some of those days, like, it was a game changer having that much sleep. Now, granted, we're back to, like, about 7 to 8. But some of those days when you have that much sleep, it's amazing. Like, what you can accomplish. And specifically for you, I feel like it's changed your life.
Oh, it 100% has. Because for months, I was running on... probably anywhere between 4 and 6 hours of sleep and
she
working.
She wakes up at 5 or 4 a.m. everybody.
Yeah.
And she'd be going to bed at like 12.
Yeah, I was going to bed really late. And I mean, I don't even know why. I can't even establish exactly why. I think it's that mom thing where your kids go down and then you finally get this time that's just yours to yourself. And that would be the time that I really just did nothing but like watched TV. And now sleep is such a priority to me, and it's gotten so much better, but I still am only averaging like 8 to 8.5 hours is a really good night for me, but I'm typically hanging around 7.5 hours, but that's still a really big improvement from 5,
yeah,
you know, from an average of 5. And I feel so much better. My workouts have gotten better. My energy levels are better. My mood is better. I feel like my brain is clearer. I honestly get mad now when I can't sleep.
Right? We were talking about how we like have plans tonight. We're not going to be able to be in bed by 7:30.
Yeah. And if like there's two events that are happening late at night in a week, I am legitimately frustrated.
No, I feel it was really funny. The missionaries came over this week and we were trying to like set up a time. And so like, oh, how about Monday at 8? And me and Kate were like, 8? Like, come over at 8? Like,
why are you not in bed?
Yeah. So I was like, can we do Tuesday at 7? And even 7, Kate was like, why did you schedule it this late? And I was like, this is all they had. And he was like, this is late. And I was like, it's okay. They'll leave and we'll be in bed asleep by 8:30. Like, we can even take night pool before. And he was like, we've come to this. We are 21 and 22 years old. And I was like, I know. And it was funny. We were talking about how we were trying to find a house out here. Oceanside is like known for 55 plus communities. They're everywhere. And so we'd find a house we really liked. And then we'd like scroll and we'd be like, oh, it's a 55. And Kate's like, we should have petitioned.
Yeah.
They're probably more wild animals than they are. And I'm like, they probably are. And I was telling my family when I went home, like, they were staying up late. And I was like, this is, like, really encroaching on my bedtime.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you're on vacation. And I was like, I know, but, like, my sleep is not something I play with, you know?
Yes.
And so it's crazy, like, how much it changes when you do that. And so, yeah, no, I'm like, I think we talked about it. I think I put it on. I think I put it on the last episode, but I was like, it's either a daytime activity or a nighttime activity, but under no circumstances is it both. And I literally, like, I am on the daytime activity. Ask me anything.
Yeah.
Daytime. I got you.
That's right.
Nighttime, we'll weigh in how important it is. We'll see what the scale ends up being.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel. It's like, from now on, my rule is if it can be avoided, if any nighttime activities except for one, we do go to a life group that
which
I do
is
feel
so
like
cool.
Yeah, I love our
it's
life
amazing.
Group, and it's essential for like spiritual and soul development. So that I can sacrifice a night of good sleep for that, but that's it. Other than that, like, I actually start shutting the lights off in our house at 6 o'clock. Like, I start dimming the house. The TV goes off or the volume gets turned way down. Everyone is like, it's barely dark outside and you're already moving us towards bed. But lately I have been in bed before, like, at 6:45.
Yeah.
And it's really helped everyone. It's helped my toddler. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and it has pushed her sleep time She goes to bed a lot earlier now, and I think she's getting more sleep, which is more beneficial. And I think my teen gets more sleep now because our house shuts down earlier.
So. No, I think it's a big difference. And we're such morning people. We're such, like, the first half of our day, like, go get it. And I think there's going to be people listening that's not them.
Oh, yeah, know? For sure.
Like, I always talk about Tiff, but it's just because I talk to her every single day. But, like, Tiff will, like, text me when she gets home from work, and she's like, yeah, so I just got home, and I'm about to work out and then shower, and then I'm going to do some work. And I was like, Tiff, it's 8 o'clock. My stomach is closed 3 hours ago. Yeah, what do you mean you're having dinner at 8:30?
Like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. But it's truly, like, how some people work. So I don't want anyone to listen and think, like, oh, I have to be going to bed this early. That's just not for you. Like, my mom laughs me all the time. Yesterday, we were on the phone with them, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bed early. Like, oh, and I told them about the 7 o'clock, and my mom was like, if I went to bed at 7, your sister would not get picked up from dance. And I'm like, man, that sucks. Hopefully she can, like, walk home. And my mom started laughing. But so it's not that, like, that has to work. But in reality, it might just shift it. So, like, if you go to bed a little bit later, maybe try to sleep in a little bit more. Cade and I are just crazy early worms.
Yeah.
That like to just, that work that way.
Yeah.
If I was not an early person, I would not push myself to do that. But I'm able to do it. And so I think it's more just, like, get that chunk of sleep that you can. So next, Katie has been killing it at 75 hard. Tell them the rules because it's amazing.
Okay, so 75 Hard originated with Andy Frisella, and I highly recommend his podcast if you are not faint of heart. He is brutally honest, and
he's like David Goggins.
Yeah, he is. He's a straight shooter, and he originally started as it's an entrepreneurial podcast, and I have literally built my business based on the things that I've learned from him. So if you are an entrepreneur, or even really he has life, it's a really applicable. Good podcast. Yeah, it really is. He does curse a lot, so just there's your disclaimer, but I love it. I like my truth to come at me hard like that. So anyway, 75 Hard, he created it. It's a mental discipline toughness challenge. A lot of people have misconceptions about it. Listen to his podcast. He has several that detail the challenge, but the rules of it are two workouts a day, 45 minutes each. One has to be outside, a gallon of water a day, read 10 pages of a nonfiction book, typically a personal development, and no alcohol, no cheat meals.
And Katie's like really good about the cheat meals. I can't fathom it sometimes. She's like, yeah, no pizza. And I'm like, what if you, like, make your own? Like, yeah, no. And I'm like, okay.
Like, I feel like if you have to try to bend the rules, or if you have to ask if it's a cheat, then it's a cheat meal. And also you have to take a progress picture every single day. So I am a little over halfway through. This is actually my second time doing it.
And you're on what day? 47?
40, something like that. 45 maybe?
Something like
that.
Yeah,
something like that.
She's killing it, you guys.
This time around, it has not been as difficult. I had a lot of trouble the first time. I would push tasks to the end of the day, and I would find myself outside doing my outdoor workout, which every day I just go for a walk, or I ride my bike. I do something pretty, I would say, light to moderate effort. And now if an opportunity opens up for me to knock out a task, I get it done. So typically I have all of my tasks done before 6 p.m. And then I just...
And it's really changed it by, like, doing that and not putting them off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. When you do that, you really learn how much time you're wasting, and you learn how to manage your time way better. So I really just maximize productivity, and it helps. It bleeds over into every other aspect of my life. So I do get the benefits of the food, like dialing in on my nutrition, and I get the benefits of the workouts. And yeah, and it helps in other areas. It helps with my kids. It helps with my home, keeping my home in order, and it helps with my business.
And it's literally amazing. And I feel like it even, like, trickles down to your clients. You know, like, we're all watching you do this amazing thing and pushing yourself and how you're changing your lifestyle. And I don't know, I think it's just amazing to watch.
I'm so glad.
And I just feel like it's something, it's more mental than it is physical.
It's 100% mental. It's 100%.
And it's like, what can you, and it's kind of like back to like the 4 minutes. Like, those are all tasks you can fit into your day, but how much time are you going to spend scrolling versus reading your 10 pages or, you know, different things like that.
Yeah.
It's really different on how it kind of affects it.
Yeah. It like I said, it's time management. It really does boil down to that. And then just knowing, like, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cave if people around are having drinks. I'm not going to cave if my whole family brings home ice cream, which happens.
Carmen, why do you keep bringing home ice cream?
My family is the worst about snacking. And it doesn't help that we live right around the corner from the mini mart.
Oh, the mini mart. Yeah.
And we have a teenager that can ride her bike there.
And has her own money.
Yeah, and who will willingly buy snacks for everyone just so she can buy snacks. So,
I love it.
Yeah. So, I do have to dig deep sometimes. But at the end of the day, I feel really good. And like I said, I just love the productivity aspect of it.
Yeah. Also, on my chapter today that I was listening to with the David Goggins book, he was talking about how, like, Americans make it sound like a 40-hour work week is this insane thing. There's, like, what, 168 hours in a week. I don't know. He did the math. I'll figure it out. But basically, he's like, 40 hours of that is like nothing. When you really look at like our entire week and we're like, yeah, we work 40 hours.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, I'm not saying you gotta work more, but he's like, there is so much more you can fit into your day.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He talks about how he like wakes up at 4 a.m., runs, bikes to work, works for his thing. During his lunch hour, he's in the gym, works again, bikes home, and then he's like, and now I spend time with my wife and I do those other things. And I'm like, man, I like tell myself, like, okay, when my phone hits 2, I'll get off TikTok. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that I'm like, okay, well, I need 15 more minutes of entertainment. When I'm like, I could literally have this whole house done.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Even myself, even now, even doing this, I'm like, there's so much more that I could do because I still spend time on my phone. I still have scrolling time. So yeah. It's
168 hours. I did the math.
168. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, 40 hours is really nothing. And then on top, you put that into like sleep and meals and family time. Like, there is so much time that we actually have.
Oh, yeah.
That we don't really realize that we're wasting, in a sense.
Yeah. And then once it's gone, it's gone. Yeah. It's gone forever. And to think about that is pretty sobering. So.
Oh, no. Okay, so with 75 Hard, you have learned a lot about eating. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so with eating, I'm not currently tracking any of my food, but I'm focusing on whole foods. Yeah. So I pretty much eat meat and vegetables and that's fruit. I will eat fruit, nuts, seeds, that kind of thing. But that's how I eat. And then because I'm not tracking, I kind of have that on my radar to track, but my plate is pretty full right now. And I just haven't fully addressed it. And also I am seeing progress. So once I either stop seeing progress or I have the space to start dialing in on that, I will. But right now I really just eat and try to focus on being mindful as I'm eating, like really pay attention and put my attention on what's in front of me, like the sensations of eating and how I'm feeling, how my body feels when I'm full, when I'm hungry. And I'm just trying to do that and really get in touch with what's going on internally, because there's a lot, your body's sending so many signals to you. And a lot of times it's just really easy to gloss over that or not realize that. So
oh, yeah.
With eating, that's what I'm doing.
Also, that you've talked a lot about is like the quantity.
Yeah.
Like in the fitness industry, it's all about how many, like what's the least amount of calories you can consume to like have a certain body.
The least, I think it's like 1,200 calories just to survive.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a number that is circulating in the fitness industry, and that is just a garbage number. That is misery
to
me.
But you've seen progress by eating more.
Oh, the same trainer that put me on Mind Pump, we were just chatting back and forth about eating and just kind of learning about different things. And I mentioned how much I was eating, and he said, well, based on your activity levels, I think you could increase your calories probably 200 to 400 a day. Yeah. And even with the head knowledge, I was like, I don't know if I could do that. But then again, I was like, maybe let me just try it. And I started scooping a little more protein on my plate. So whatever my protein source is when I'm eating, whatever, I'll fix my plate like I normally would. And then I'll go back and add more protein. And I had an explosion of progress in 2 weeks.
Dude, her biceps, y'all. I wish I could send a picture to every single person listening right now.
Yeah, like I actually have abs right now. And I'm like, where did those come from? So I really just feel like my body
was
waiting.
Because by eating protein, your body's able to use the muscle and keep it instead of eating it.
Exactly. And I think that has been a big
revelation for me in, as far as the benefits of strength training versus cardio, because cardio will break down that muscle, whereas strength training and feeding your body properly will cause muscle to grow, which in turn impacts your metabolism positively. And then it's just a big cycle. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Like, who doesn't want a faster metabolism?
Yeah. So well, that and that, something I've picked up is I have like the biggest sweet tooth. And so what I've taught myself and what I've tried to really practice, and I'm not always good at it, but what I really try to do is when we eat dinner, I try to wait a full hour after to see if I really want that chocolate. I feel like a lot of times we have like saltier dinners, you know, like the veggies and this protein, like it's just a little bit more savory.
Yeah.
And so my body's like, oh, can you balance it out with a Snickers, please? Or a Reese's, like ice cream. And so I've tried to tell myself, like, give me the hour. And I've tried to like very much listen to my body. And if in an hour I still want the sweet, I eat the Reese's.
Yeah.
But if a lot of the time it's just my body balancing back out from having a more savory meal.
Right.
You know, did I finish my water all today? Did I? And so I think sometimes we are so quick to just give our body exactly what they're asking for. You know, like, whether that's doing push-ups and it hurts, okay, well, it's going to drop, you know? Or, hey, I want some sugar. All right, here's some sugar, you know? But when you really do take the time to dial in and see what, and is like, are you really, that was like my mom's thing growing up. I'm hungry. Well, to drink water.
Drink water, you know?
And so I've really told myself, like, after that time, if I still want the sugar, I'm going to give it to myself. I'm not going to deprive myself of anything. But a lot of time, I even forget.
Yeah.
I even forget that I want it because once I regulate and my body's digested the food, it's very different than if I wanted it. So it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just interesting to learn about.
No, I think that's important too. I think it's important sometimes to get to give yourself that, you know, especially like if you are, obviously if you're chasing a specific goal and you need to be disciplined, then yeah, it's good to be like, okay, well, I'm going to stick to this for now. But I do think it is important sometimes to treat yourself. You know, otherwise, like, there's so many relationships and so many emotions tied to food that you have to approach that with care.
Yeah. The creator I tagged that one day, Liz Moody.
Yeah.
She is a health food blogger.
I love her stuff.
And Katie loves her recipes. But something she always says when someone's like, what's something like that I can do healthier? Like, what should I do? And she says her number one tip for anybody, and she's like very open about being like, middle size, like she's all about living in your body because in 40 years, if you're on your deathbed and you worried about how your legs look, like you're going to be upset, like all that kind of stuff. That don't worry about taking out things, but add veggies. Add things before you decide to take out things.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting, like what that does to your mind because, and someone was like talking about things and she's like, tell me someone that's like unhealthy that eats a salad every day. Like, tell me, like, you know, and she's really big about smoothies and putting a bunch of vegetables in their smoothies. And she's like, when you add more things, you're more full from your dinner of veggies and protein and good carbs and stuff like that versus wanting the ice cream. Not that the ice cream's bad, but if you fill yourself up with it, you're not going to be starving for the ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you take that restrictive approach, it's not sustainable long term. And I think that's why so many people get sucked up into that diet, that vicious diet cycle. So yeah, that's kind of been my approach though. I try to eat intuitively and I'm really just focusing on whole foods, no processed foods. No, I'm not eating any bread. I'm a big pusher of Ezekiel bread. I love it. It's actually, I'm pretty sure my husband told me the other day, it's a complete protein. It's got really good stuff in it, but that's about the only,
I've never had it before.
Yeah. It's a little more dense. It's not like soft and fluffy like bread, but we've been eating it so long that I don't have any qualms with it and it's pretty good. So yeah, that's kind of how I've been eating.
All right. So to close, let's finish with some workout tips that we have kind of come up with and figured out.
Yeah, for sure. So strength training is the way to go. Find someone to help you learn how to lift weights. And I mean, I'm always available to chat.
I will tag all of Katie's pages. She has a bunch of different things. No matter where you're at, she can help you out.
I can definitely help you.
And I swear by it.
Yeah, for sure. And I just think that strength training and getting stronger is definitely the way to go. It is the way. Don't be killing yourself doing cardio. Don't try to decide that you're going to go get fit and lace up your running shoes and start running and dying on the elliptical or the treadmill or whatever it is. But by all means, like, find somewhere to lift weights and learn how to do it well. Start at the bottom and work your way up. And that, to me, that's just the best that's the best avenue. It's you're going to get the most bang for your buck, like, in that way.
And we talked about it, but don't focus on the weight. Don't focus on, you're doing the movement, you're building those muscles. If you're focusing on 15, do that instead of a 25 if you really can.
Yeah.
Work on it.
For sure. And then also the biggest thing with women that I've come across lately is put your scale away. Just put it away. Just don't even bother with that thing right now.
Because it changes so much. There's like 12 variables that can make your scale change that have nothing to do with something you can control.
Exactly. And those three digits should not dictate how you feel about yourself or how you're judging the effectiveness of your training. It's not an accurate measure of the totality of your progress. So, yeah, I would say lift weights and put your scale away. Those are probably my top two things right now that are just coming through. You know, my experience as
something
a trainer.
With that, with the scale. So my friend sent me a picture the other day and she was like, my prom just doesn't fit. And I was like, your prom just shouldn't fit. We're not in high school anymore.
That's right.
Like, our bodies, sadly, because I don't want children right now, are getting ready to have a baby. Like, they are changing. You should not be the same size you are in high school. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And so I sent her back. I was like, we shouldn't fit in our prom dresses. That was high school. First of all, we all had the worst eating habits ever in high school.
Yeah.
Like, we're like eating disorder, like, catalogs in high school, you know?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, we shouldn't fit into our prom dresses still. I was like, our bodies are changing. And she was like, no, thank you so much. And I was like, no, like, I mean it. Like, and then the other thing with that was I saw the other day, it was like, when you go and try on shoes and you put on, okay, so I'll use my sizes. When I put on a 7.5 and I'm like, yeah, it feels fine, but I think an 8 would be better. Do I look at my foot and I'm like, foot, you're so fat. Why can't you fit in a 7.5? How dare you? No, I go get a different size because that's what's best for my foot. So why is it different with jeans or a t-shirt or a bra or underwear? Like, we are not meant to fit into clothes. Clothes are meant to fit on us.
Ooh, good point.
And so I really think it's interesting how our brains, like, depending on the body type.
Yeah.
If you're trying on jeans, you'll be like, well, I'm supposed to fit in this size 3.
Right.
But you're really not. Go get a size 5 and you'll feel so much better when you're walking down the street in your jeans.
Good point.
But with your feet, do you get mad at them?
Right.
No, because you can't control your feet growing.
Right.
And so it's so interesting. And so I saw that the other day and was like, we're not supposed to fit into clothes.
Clothes
are supposed to fit on us properly.
Yeah.
And then how our mental changes when, like, something won't fit. Or, you know, like, oh, well, those jeans fit 2 weeks ago. Okay, well, maybe you're on your period. Or maybe they just don't fit today. Go put on a different pair.
Yeah, or maybe the sizing is just crazy.
Okay, let's talk about that. Freaking clothing sizing is whack. I have, like, 4 different brands, and they're all different sizes.
Yeah.
No one uses the same sizing.
So, and even knowing that, a lot of times even having that knowledge in your head, it will still mess you up. It will still wreck your day. And I just, a lot of times with clients, if they're having trouble, if they're having a hard day, I will tell them that they should think about all the things, like the fact that you were able to get out of bed this morning, the fact that you can see me, the fact that you can hear me talking to you, that you can speak to me to communicate back to me. All of those things are abilities that there are people in this world that would kill to be able to have. So it's like, we have to celebrate our bodies and every little thing.
And you're able to do those lifts, and you're able
exactly.
to run. Like, who cares about those jeans you've had for 4 years?
Exactly.
They clearly just need to get donated.
Yeah, you need to throw them out. Don't keep anything that doesn't fit you right now, that you don't feel good in.
Yeah.
I would get rid of anything. Don't hold on to clothes like my one day clothes, because you're just tormenting yourself. And when you create stress creates cortisol. Cortisol promotes weight gain. So it's really about shifting your mindset to one of gratitude and thankfulness and beginning to learn how to love yourself regardless of where you are. You have to do that. Like, you have to do that where you are to get to where you want to go.
No, that's so true.
Yeah.
I really like that. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I can't believe it's been, like, June
since
was when we recorded our first one.
Yeah, and we had just met each other.
We just met.
Yeah, now, like, you're like my little sister. You're like my adopted little sister.
I'm like, I've not even known you for a whole year.
I know.
Which is kind of the most crazy thing to think about. Like, I see you every single day.
I know.
We talk every single day. Like,
I love
I'm like,
it.
There's no way that I've only known her for less than a year.
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
We've packed in a lot of quality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I think what's really cool about it is people will talk about it in the military a lot, you know, like, hey, you're away from family, you create this family, but it's really true. Like,
oh, yeah.
You really do create your military family, and it's awesome because you guys are all going through so similar things, away from family most of the time, experiencing these hardships, you know, like, hey, Cade got tied up with this, can you pick us up from the airport, or hey, can you drop me off here, or can you come and do this, or can you come watch the kid, you know, like, there's so many things that when you're around family, those are the ones who pick up that slack because right. they're there. But in the military, you don't always have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so grateful you're in my life.
Same.
It's so, grateful we could record this episode because it's been so fun to learn together for the last few months. Like,
oh, yeah.
All the different things that we've learned, and we'll send each other like videos like, hey, did you see this?
Yeah.
Like, let's try out this.
And, reading books and.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
All right. Well, we will catch you guys next week.
Bye. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I adore Katie, and I'm forever grateful that she walked into my life and that we have been able to build such a wonderful friendship. I hope you enjoyed all the things that we talked about, and I'm really grateful for this podcast. I hope that you realize that failure is normal and everyone goes through it. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Keep pushing, hit those goals, drink your water, get out and exercise, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Love you all. Talk to you soon. Bye.